The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive. It is Friday morning. You just about made it to the weekend. Bob Heck in here for Sean, who's been under the weather the past couple of days. So I jumped in to fill in for him today. We've got a great show coming up. We get Sally English, the executive director of AdLib. But first, let's take a look at this stupid forecast.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then mostly cloudy with snow likely this afternoon. Snow accumulation around 10 inch. Highs in the upper 30s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming south this afternoon. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Snow likely in the evening, then a chance of snow and rain showers after midnight. Total snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches. Cold. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. South wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 60%. Saturday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of snow showers. Breezy with highs in the upper 30s. West wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
You stupid weather robot, you shut your mouth. That's what we're talking about. They're talking about snow. More snow. We just melted the snow that we had. But they're talking about more snow. I mean, it kicks. Hurts even worse when we had those days where it was 70 degrees. That just like... just kicks you right in the stomach just a little bit more. It's very disappointing. Before we get to our guest, a couple of things to let you know about. First off, PSA Days. We have PSA Days coming up here at PCTV. It is your local nonprofit's opportunity to create a up to two-minute video for your organization and maybe cut a radio spot that will air here on WTBR. So get in touch with us ASAP. We still have some spots available. PSA Days at PittsfieldTV.org. Again, PSA Days at PittsfieldTV.org. And coming up Sunday here on WTBR 89.7, we have the Massachusetts State Championship game. Pittsfield taking on Bishop Fenwick. That's a 4 o'clock tip. We'll be live on the air at 3:50, live from the Songus Center in Lowell, as Pittsfield looks for their first state championship in school history. So we're really excited about that here on WTB. I want to thank some of the folks who are sponsoring that. And we're still looking for another sponsor, so you can reach out to us if you're interested in sponsoring that game. But again, that's coming up on Sunday, 3:50, 4 o'clock tip here on WTBR. And our guest this morning, we're thrilled to have Sally English, the executive director of AdLib. Sally, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy we made it to Friday.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's been one of the, you said it's been a hectic week for you, and it's been a hectic week for me. So
yeah, it has. There's a lot going on right now for AdLib. So AdLib is a nonprofit organization here in Pittsfield, and we empower people with disabilities throughout Berkshire County to live independently. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we're going into the state budgeting season and time to be for lawmakers getting back to their work. And so it means that we have a lot more going on.
So what exactly does AdLib do? I mean, I've heard of AdLib. You hear it all the time in the community, but if somebody were to say to me, what does AdLib do? I'd be like, I don't know if I can answer that question.
Yeah. Really. Well, and people get really confused because we're kind of under this umbrella called a Center for Independent Living or an Independent Living Center. So people sometimes think we have housing, that people with disabilities can live kind of like, you know, where your grandma might live in an assisted living or something. But actually what we do, and we've been doing this since 1983, is we aim to get people with disabilities connected to services that keep them in their own homes and keep them in the community and are the services that they choose, not just the ones that are given to them. Mm-hmm. And so our philosophy is that people with disabilities need to be at the forefront of choosing and designing the services that support them. That people with disabilities aren't something to be fixed, right? That there isn't, it's not something that like, oh, you're, we just need to fix you and then things will be okay. No, we need to fix the environment around you so that you can live independently.
Okay, so talk to me, like, how does somebody qualify for the program? How does somebody, you know, obviously mm-hmm. there's a difference between what you do and the assisted living and right. things along those lines. How do people know which bin they fall into?
So the way I like to think of it is we have, well, in AdLib, we have two different departments. On our, what we call our independent living department side, one of the core things that we do is called information and referral. So if you or someone that you love or know is experiencing an issue related to disability, whether it be kind of figuring out what to do for housing, what to do for home care services, and health insurance, if applying for Social Security, applying for SNAP, applying for RAF, we're a great first phone call because we can help you navigate the other services in the community.
Okay.
And know where it is that you might want to go. And then what we do from there is we help people develop goals so that they can get connected to the services they need. So what this looks like right now, you know, one of the biggest things going on is housing, right? There's a housing crisis. The majority of people who are facing housing insecurity or unhoused have a disability or will develop one because of the trauma experienced from being unhoused. And so we actually offer support in applying for subsidized housing, in getting essential documents, right? You don't think about it, but if you don't have your birth certificate, if you don't have a driver's license or another state ID, you can't apply for any benefits to support you. And I mean, as a, you know, someone now, you know, that has moved many times in my adult life, I don't know where all those documents are. I'm fortunate and I'm privileged in the sense that I still have the resources that I can go and get my documents myself. But for someone that maybe lost work because of a disability, right? If you get hurt on the job, after a while, workman's comp runs out. And if you're still injured and you can't go back to work, it could be 2 years until you get Social Security disability.
Oh, wow.
So what do you do for income during that time period?
Yeah.
The state gives you $300 a month if you've applied for Social Security disability. But to do that, you have to jump through a whole lot of hoops. And that's where we come in. And we support people in figuring out, how do you apply for these benefits? We'll walk through people. We will go through that application step by step with somebody. If you get a denial, we'll help you navigate, how do I do an appeal? We aren't lawyers, but we do support people in trying to figure out what is it that you need to get to the next step. You know, the other thing we think about is, how do you get food stamps, applying for food stamps, appealing? Where are the local community resources? You know, I love working in the Berkshires. Right. It's an amazing community. And there's a lot of individual resources, but you sometimes have to know how to navigate them. Now think about, if you have the barrier, if you're a person with a physical disability and you have trouble leaving your home. Let's say, again, it's an acquired disability. You didn't have it before, and now you can't get out of the steps from your house. How do you get to the food pantry?
Right.
Right? So we help people figure out those pieces. We've helped people before. Occasionally, there's small funding sources to help people get ramps. We also have a very small transportation program with a paratransit van so that people can get to non-medical appointments. So we try to put those pieces together so that people can get back to living their life.
So I hadn't even thought about people that got, you know, they get hurt at work and then they're disabled. So, I mean, do you work with people who are temporarily disabled because of an injury at work? Or is it just those that are going to have the disability for the rest of their lives?
It's usually something that's going to be chronic or last longer than 6 months. But we will help people try to figure out what do I do temporarily. We have access to some durable medical equipment at times, so like wheelchairs, walkers, shower chairs. We can just give those out to people, or we can help people find another resource to get them. And that doesn't, to qualify for that part of the services, all you need to be is someone that says, yes, I have a disability or a chronic condition. We work with people with mental health conditions too. Right? How do you get access to therapy and to the medications that you need? So we try to figure out kind of how do we change the environment around you so that you can get what you need to be in the community.
Why is it important for somebody to, you know, with a disability to stay within their home?
Mm-hmm. So, think about your morning, right? I know for me, my morning, I wake up, I do a little yoga, I make my coffee, I drink my coffee and I cuddle with my cat, and then I get ready for the day, right? Like, so think about it. If you all of a sudden don't have that, if you can't get out of bed yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have options, right? If an agency comes in, they say, well, sorry, I don't have anyone to come until 10 a.m. Well, I want to get up and out of bed at 7.
Right.
I don't want to wait till 10. And what if I have to go to the bathroom before 10? Well, if you work with an agency and that's all they can do, well, sorry. If you're in a nursing facility, you might have one CNA, right? One certified nursing assistant to work with 10 people. They have to go person by person. And they'll get to you when they get to you.
Okay.
All of your choices taken away when you don't get to say, this is how I want my services.
So to get that cup of coffee and to cuddle with that cat, like, what does AdLib do to make that happen? Because I just envision my house, and I got a bunch of stairs that go up to the bedroom.
Yep.
What does that entail?
So that kind of brings us to the other side of our services, which is the personal care attendant program. So the personal care attendant program is for people with a chronic physical condition. So it's going to be chronic or permanent, and that they need to also have the correct insurance. So we help people become eligible for that program, right? So we make sure that they have the correct MassHealth insurance. We do the eligibility screening, which involves a clinical assessment because it's paid for by MassHealth, which is Medicaid. And then once we get that person onto the program, they are now their own boss. They have to get an EIN, and then they are in charge of hiring, training, and choosing who they want to come into their home and take care of.
So the person themselves choose who they, and basically, you know, go from the get-go, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Interesting.
It's so empowering because, yeah, if you think about it, and, you know, I lived through this with a very immediate family member that, you know, ended up needing in-home services, and it got to the point where another immediate family member decided that they weren't going to work anymore to care for this person full time because we couldn't get the services in the house at the time we wanted. And it's challenging, right? It has an economic impact on those people around you.
Of course.
So it's about the empowerment piece and about the choice. You know, I know that I like to choose who comes into my apartment. I don't want it to just be some random person. And I want it to be at a time I want.
So in a sense, you know, and you see this a lot where people sort of, you know, they're working, but then they're trying to take mm-hmm. care of somebody. And it just, I mean, a lot of people, you think about the person mm-hmm. who's disabled. You think about the person who has cancer. You think about the person who is doing this and that. And a lot of times the caregivers, the family members, the ones whose workload increases by 100, they don't really get thought about at all. So what you're saying is AdLib can allow somebody to, you know, sort of leave their job but still have an income coming in to take care of the person that they want to. And I don't mean to make it sound like the caregivers are like, I'm a caregiver now. Like, they want to be there. It's important to them to be there. But they can get a position with AdLib to, you know, be able to do what they want to do and still have an income.
Yep. It's a little more complicated than that because AdLib technically doesn't hire the actual PCAs. Technically, the PCAs are actually hired by the consumer. So they're actually employed by the consumer. So AdLib's relationship is teaching the consumer to be their boss and making sure people get the paperwork done and the eligibility done to stay on the program. But yeah, that's it. That's how when it works, and that's what we want to see happen.
Yeah, so more or less, you know, the person who needs the care is the boss.
Yep, exactly. We call them consumer employers.
Huh.
And there are people, you know, and there's people that have disabilities that they were born with, and they start being their employer pretty early on. We can have people on the program pretty young, at which point they have what's called a surrogate that kind of manages the employment pieces for them. But yeah, there's consumers we've had that have been their own employer for years. And for some people, it also means that your family can just be your family and your kids don't have to be taking care of you because mm-hmm. you can hire someone else to do it, which is also empowering because then you can just live your life.
Interesting. So how does the consumer employer get the money to pay the PCA?
So that's when MassHealth comes in.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard of MassHealth,
right? Of course.
And one thing I always like to remind people is MassHealth is Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
In each state, Medicaid has a fancy, fun name. In Kansas, it's CanCare. In Washington, it's AppleCare. I'm sorry. Maybe it's New York. Anyway, they have different names.
It makes
names.
More sense in New York for
yeah,
it to
right,
be AppleCare.
Right, but Washington has an interesting one, too. So people sometimes don't remember that that's Medicaid. So if people have MassHealth, right, they have to meet income requirements. So they have to be low income. And then there's a lot of, it's very complicated. So I'll try not to get too technical.
I know it's hard.
But there's different ways to become eligible if you do have income. But once you have MassHealth, you can come to us to become eligible for this. MassHealth then pays through what's called a fiscal intermediary, which is another agency. That agency pays the PCAs, and then MassHealth pays that agency.
Okay. So it's basically government stuff. It's going to go through four or five different things
yes.
to make it.
Yes, exactly.
So talk about some of the events that you have coming up. The rally for PCA services?
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. So one of the other things that we do is community education and advocacy about disability, issues related to disability rights. And next week, we're actually going to the State House in Boston to do a rally, basically a protest to remind state elected officials of how important the personal care attendant program is.
Mm-hmm.
The state is facing a crisis in terms of budget, and PCA program is always looked at as maybe we can save some money there, and we want to remind them, no, that's not where you're going to save your money. So that's one of the big events that we have coming up right now.
So, within the budget, and of course, everybody's going through this right now, mm-hmm. as far as this budgetary stretches go, the PCA program is always the one that seems to be on the chopping block, is what you're saying.
It's definitely looked at. It's actually one of the highest kind of spending programs
mm-hmm.
In the state. And part of the reason is that you're paying the PCAs,
yeah,
right? You're paying the two agencies that support the program, so ADLIB and then the agency, the fiscal intermediary, and then you're also paying the state workers that have to run the program. I think what people forget is that the PCA program is for everybody, right? Anyone that has the physical eligibility requirements and has MassHealth can qualify. So whereas other programs might separate in the, if you think about a budget, right? Other programs might separate based on the type of disability.
Mm-hmm.
ADLIB doesn't, right? Or I'm sorry, PCA program doesn't. So you can have people from 5 to, I've seen people with birth dates of 1920s, right? Like people that are in their hundreds on the program. So that means it's going to be higher no matter what.
Of course.
Right? The other thing that people forget is that the alternative might be a nursing facility, a long-term care facility. Those can cost thousands of dollars a day, right? And you lose the choice. People usually decline because they don't have as much support. So it's not necessarily... What's the viable alternative? It's questionable.
Well, what disability does ADLIB or a PCA work with that, somebody like me who isn't into,
yeah.
knows a lot about disabilities,
yep.
that would like other like you wouldn't think of as a disability that is mm-hmm. a disability.
So for the PCA program, sometimes it could be something like COPD. It could be if you've had complications with, I mean, obviously there's things like cerebral palsy, quadriplegia mm-hmm. that require that use. It could also be things related to other chronic conditions. So, you know, if you have chronic diabetes and you develop really bad neuropathy, you lose use of your hands and your feet. It could also be dementia. If you can no longer physically
sure.
dress yourself, if somebody needs to physically dress you because you can no longer do it, that could be it. We sometimes get people with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities on the program when they aren't able to physically do their what we call activities of daily living, which is bathing, toileting, dressing, all of those pieces.
Okay. You got a Berkshire County Disability Community Legislative Breakfast coming up.
Yes. Yeah, so that's an annual event. It's coordinated by BARC, the Berkshire County ARC. We do it annually, and BARC is amazing because they bring all of our agencies together so that we can all talk to our legislators at the same time. So we will actually have Senator Mark, Representative Farley Bouvier, Representative Davis, Representative Barrett, and Mayor Marchetti are all going to be there. It's at the Proprietor's Lodge. It is a registration event. I believe registration ends today. So if you wanted to see if there's any left, you have to go onto the Berkshire County ARC website. And we talk about, we as a community, decide what are the main issues that we're concerned about and try to tell our legislators' story directly from the people that are living it. So that when they're having to make decisions on bills and budget items, they have our voices in their heads.
Okay, and does do you guys do any outside fundraising, or is it all, you know, I mean, yeah. fundraising is a pain in the butt.
It is. So ADLIB is a nonprofit organization, and as all nonprofits, we need to, ensure that we have different funds. So we actually got honored this year with being chosen as one of Guido's Roundup recipients. So I'm sure everyone knows Guido's.
Mm-hmm.
That's always my favorite place to go whenever there's a special event and I need to get good snacks. And every month they have a chosen agency, a chosen nonprofit, that if you're at checkout and you tell your cashier, hey, I want a Roundup, if you do that, all the money goes to that chosen organization. And for March and April, it's actually ADLIB, which is...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
very nice.
I was really excited about it. They actually came out to ADLIB last week, I believe. And they talked to my staff about the work that we do. They took pictures at our organization so that they really understand what our mission is. They understand the value that we bring to Berkshire County, so that way they can also help educate their customers about what it is that we do. So we're really excited about that. And they've just been wonderful people to work with.
And do you have to do any events to help raise funds, or do you do events to raise funds?
We haven't done as much of that. Mm-hmm. I would say right now we probably need to start thinking about it. Historically, and this is years and years ago, but I love talking about what ADLIB has done in the past as well, because I think it really guides what we could do in the future. The ADLIB used to run something called the Farnham Challenge, which was a triathlon adapted, right? So people who were blind, who used different types of bicycles would participate. So it was kind of like Josh Billings, except for people with disabilities. And so people would have tandem bikes. People would have the adoptive bicycles that you pedal with your hands. So that was something that ADLIB used to do. We also used to do a program called Dining in the Dark that would have people experience what it's like to try and enjoy a great meal
when
you can't see. So those are all things that have been done previously. And ADLIB hadn't taken a break from doing big events for a while, largely, you know, pandemic,
Yeah, that
threw everything off. But I think it's something that we want to start doing more. We are definitely in need of funds. We're putting in a lot of money into capital improvements right now. You probably know where our building is.
I think I do.
If you don't, you will. As soon as I tell you, you're going to know it's there. So you know where the bus station is, right on North Street in Pittsfield.
Yes.
We're across from that.
Oh, okay.
Right on where they are building the Wright buildings.
All right.
Where they just made Jim's House of Shoes into, now it's four stories.
Oh, goodness.
We're the organization right next to it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're right there. We own that building. We've owned it. We've been there since the early 2000s. It's time for a new roof, a new HVAC, and few other improvements.
Oh, I can imagine.
New windows. You know. We put in new windows that look great that I think people have not noticed because of all the construction going on. So I'm so excited for the spring when people can really appreciate it once the construction is finished.
Yeah, you appreciate a lot more than other people do, like new windows and stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I got a chimney on my house, like in my old house, like 7-8 years ago, and I would just stand out there and I would admire it because, and nobody cares about my chimney,
yep.
But I cared. It was awesome.
I go up, I try to do it at least once a day. My office is in the back and I don't have windows. And I try to go up.
How do you not have windows? You're the executive director.
I know, right? It's one of those things with those kind of retrofitted buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a store for years and now it's offices. So it doesn't quite have that. But trying to go up to those nice storefront windows on North Street because just the sun and seeing what's going on is amazing.
We're talking with Sally English, the executive director of Adlib. We're going to take a short time out, and we'll have more with Sally. We're going to talk about transportation coming up on the other side of the break here on WTBR. Thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
If you or someone you care about has experienced or is currently dealing with sexual or domestic abuse, Elizabeth Freeman Center is here for you, day or night, whether you're ready to take action or just want to talk. You are not alone. Call our free and confidential hotline to speak to a counselor today at 866-401-2425. That's 866-401-2425, or visit our website at elizabethfreemancenter.org.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTVR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Friday morning. Bob Heck in for Sean Sayre today. And We're going to take a look at the forecast. You look outside right now, you see the sun, and guess what? That's not going to stay that way all day. Here we go. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then mostly cloudy with snow likely this afternoon. Snow accumulation around 10 inch. Highs in the upper 30s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming south this afternoon. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Snow likely in the evening, then a chance of snow and rain showers after midnight. Total snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches. Cold. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. South wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 60%. Saturday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of snow showers. Breezy with highs in the upper 30s. West wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Our weather robot is a long-winded fella this morning. Had a lot to say. Snow potentially moving in later on. I'm just so sick of it. And, you know, it always seems to... I hope the trash guys come before the wind picks up because, you know, it seems every time I have to put my cans out, that's the day we get the 40-mile-an-hour winds.
It's just the luck of the draw.
Yeah, but it's always like that, though. Like, the last time, there are times where I'm like, I'm not going to bother putting the cans out. I'm just not going to bother. And then there are times where I put the cans out, and then I come home, and my front lawn looks like a fraternity party happened during the day. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, right? Weather is fun. Can I actually remind people something about snow removal related to our topic today?
Sure. Well, we're talking with Sally English, the executive director of AdLib. Yeah, go for it, Sally.
Yeah, so I don't know that people always realize how important snow removal is in terms of accessibility for people with disabilities.
Right. They don't.
Right? Because if you don't clear out a sidewalk, you want to clear out a sidewalk thinking about it wide enough that someone in a wheelchair can get by. If it is not cleared fully, that means that someone who's trying to navigate with a mobility device just gets stuck.
Yeah.
Right? This winter has been a nightmare for so many of my consumers and my staff, right? Because AdLib hires majority people with disabilities. Close to almost 80% of our staff identify as a person with a disability.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think about 60% of our board of directors were actually required to have that. I got to the point at one point where there was one staff that every morning I text her and tell her, like, where's the best place to park today? Like, is this clear enough? And there were staff that some days I'd have to say, listen, it's not, the sidewalks aren't clear enough for you to come in. Why don't you work remote?
That's interesting. I mean, you never really think about that because you see some sidewalks. It's like even me, like walking down the street, like walking down the sidewalk, and you see kids like out in the street because the sidewalks just don't work. But you never think about. Wheelchairs don't have snow tires like our cars do, right?
Exactly. And then think about someone with a walker, right? Like the way those get stuck in that slushy snow makes it really, really challenging. And then people can't go to work. They can't go to the grocery store, can't go to doctor's appointments, right? If you don't have this stuff cleared well.
Do they make snow tires for wheelchairs?
That's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think we get a business idea here.
Right? I'm sure. I mean, probably if you can pay for it.
I don't know. We may have to talk off air about get some investors lined up for something like that.
Right?
I think. Talk about the transportation advocacy program.
Yeah. So AdLib partnered with AdLib again is a center for independent living. Right. Mm-hmm. We're part of a national network, so we're a completely independent nonprofit. But their center, I believe, it's about 400 centers for independent living throughout the country, and within Massachusetts, there's 10 of us, and we all work together really closely on issues that impact all of our regions. So every town actually has an assigned center for independent living. So again, if I'll give a plug, if you ever have questions about disability-related issues, find out where your local Center for Independent Living is and give them a call, because they can probably help you answer some of them. And we're all kind of coordinated. So we started talking, and one of the big issues is statewide accessible transportation. And when we talk about accessible transportation, I mean for people in mobility devices.
Right.
So typically known as paratransit, where you actually have wheelchair accessible vehicles. So a couple years ago, we started talking about wanting to put together, get some grant funding to put together an accessible transportation, a statewide accessible transportation coalition, and develop a toolkit to help educate consumers and anyone in the general public about how regional transit authorities operate. How are they governed, and how can you effectively work with them to create change that will help have better accessible transportation? And we were fortunate enough to get a grant from, it's called the Grassroots Project, which is under Human Services Research Institute and the Administration of Community Living. And their focus is on engaging people who receive services, so consumers, in advocacy efforts and creating networks of advocacy throughout the country. So we were really fortunate to get this grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started the work. And so we put together this Accessible Transportation Coalition. Right now, it's primarily people from the independent living centers throughout the state. And then we developed a toolkit that goes over the governance of regional transit authorities, how they're funded. It covers basic organizing techniques. So when you think about community organizing and advocacy, there's a lot of different frameworks in thinking about how do you go about that work. And then it talks about success stories and best practices throughout the state and transportation advocacy so that we can learn from each other and from the past about what's effective and how do we move forward.
Would it be fair to say that disabled people rely on public transportation more?
Yes, right? Anyone who's low income is going to rely on public transportation more. And so it becomes a huge barrier when people don't have access to it. And like I said earlier about the snow removal, well, you know, if your van service cancels, all of a sudden you can't get to work,
mm-hmm.
right? If your van service doesn't have drivers and they tell you, well, sorry, your ride's going to be an hour later, you miss your doctor's appointment. So it can be really challenging. I think, you know, and I don't want to discount, I think there's a lot of great work going on with the regional transit authorities. I think they really want to provide those services to people. But like everything, they're restricted by budget. They're restricted by having the right staff,
mm-hmm.
government regulations. So part of our work is trying to, you know, like I said, educate people that receive the services and how to advocate for themselves effectively. And then organizing it as a community in terms of what is a really good ask and what is it that we want to try to work on.
So the reduction of routes within the BRTA and... I mean, that's a whole three other shows if you wanted.
Yes.
But that has an effect on your clients.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we have people that are completely cut off from doing their typical day-to-day stuff. You know, we have people that we've been trying to help because, like I said, we do have a van ourselves that is like, well, let's help you get to the laundromat. Let's help you get to the grocery store because those services are gone.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's stuff people take for granted. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, we're out of milk. Can you run and go get milk? Yeah. I mean, it's a 5-minute thing for me, but
right.
for somebody with a disability, that mm-hmm. That could be like an hour, couple of hour long ideal right. to get milk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it doesn't, I think you forget, right? We talk about kind of that privilege, you forget how much of a privilege it is to have a vehicle, to be able to just walk into a store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about how many stores you go to and they have so much stuff piled in the aisles that you can't get a cart through.
I hadn't even thought of that. Like that irritates me to no end.
Yes.
You know, and then you get the people congregating. Like, do you really have to have your conversation in aisle 5?
Yeah, right?
Go over there. Have right. your conversation over there.
But that's also, like, the work of the disability community. And I think the Pittsfield Disability Commission does a lot of that work sometimes with the stores in mm-hmm. Pittsfield is, hey, you know what? Your racks are too close together. Someone can't get through. And so, you know, we have to go there and we have to educate people about what is a best practice here. How can you be sure that this is accessible to everyone? I mean, I don't know if you've ever had someone in your life and or family that you've has used a mobility device and trying to navigate and get through places. It can be a challenge.
Yeah, no, and it's, like what always irritates me is the stupid boxes of crap that the grocery stores just throw in the middle of the aisle. It's like you're walking down the aisle and it's all jutted out with this box of garbage that no one's going to buy.
Right. And you and I, we can, you know, maneuver and turn our bodies and slide through. But you know what? When you bring your family member that uses a walker, well, now you have to walk all the way back around because you can't get by. Right. Or you have to try to shove it out of the way. Or if that person's by themselves, they have to try to get through. Right. It's there's this idea of universal design. Right. Is the fact that like, why can't we make everything like why do we have to have steps in every house that you go into?
Right.
Do we really need steps to go into a house? Right. Like universal design says, why don't we just put everything at kind of a more base level so that you don't have to step into a home? And it's those things that most of us don't think about that is our prime work that we're trying to kind of educate the community and show people like, no, you have to deal with these issues.
And yeah, it's just a lot going on with that. And it's just a lot of things I take for granted. We all take for granted that we're just able to walk up a couple of stairs. It's not that big of a deal.
Exactly. Or, just thinking about depending on how someone's body works, something that is accommodating and works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. If you think about there's very strict kind of guidelines from the Americans with Disabilities Act about how to build, like, where do handrails have to go? How high is a toilet supposed to be? But that doesn't necessarily work for everyone, you know?
Right.
At one point, I've been a personal care attendant a couple times in my life. I was a personal care attendant for a person that needed a really low toilet, right? My family member needed a high one. So what do you do when you get to the grocery store and you really have to use the bathroom and it's not quite what you need? There's just a lot of different dynamics that people don't think about. And it's so important, because the other thing about disability is it's a universal experience, right? Like, I think it's 1 in 4 Americans could experience a disability at some time in their life. So one of the things that I'm really passionate about is trying to help people kind of plan for and think about, like, why can't we make this a better environment for everybody?
Right. And the problem is, most people are like, forget it. We don't need it. But until you experience it.
Right. I mean, think about it. If you're a person, we have a lot of people that need to go to specialty medical appointments in Boston or in Springfield. Well, if you need paratransit, if you need a wheelchair accessible vehicle and you don't qualify for the right health insurance that's going to pay for it for you, how are you going to get there if you don't have your own?
Talk to me about we're talking with Sally English, executive director of AdLib. Thanks, Sally, for joining us this morning and certainly enlightening me on what you do and, just the I don't want to use the word plight of folks with disabilities. That's probably not.
Yeah, I think
there's challenges.
They're barriers.
Barriers, okay.
Right? We want to remove barriers. We all have barriers in our lives. And because, I think when we use the terms like struggling or plight, it implies that there's something wrong with the person.
That's exactly why I didn't want to use that word.
Yeah, so glad you said it that way, because then I can kind of have that conversation about why it's important to see that it's not that the person's the one having the issue. It's the environment that's not designed in a way that could work for everybody.
Independent Living Education Day at the State House. You're back to the State House in April.
Yeah, that's why, like I said, it's been a long couple of weeks. And it's going to be a long couple of months, but all for really good reasons. So every year, as I mentioned, the independent living centers throughout Massachusetts, we go to the State House And we first have different speakers that talk about issues related to disability happening statewide. We invite all of our elected officials. We get to talk with people from throughout the state that are kind of dealing with the same issues. And then we get to actually, I usually always try to make sure to make time to go and visit our own elected officials and talk to them about what's going on with, you know, obviously budget is a big one.
Sure.
We're not going to ask a lot for budget this year, except for don't cut our funding, please. And then also what bills are coming up that are really important for them to consider, you know, talking about transportation. I know there's one that's dealing with trying to create a commission on microtransit. Microtransit is when you have kind of smaller pockets of semi-public transportation that tries to connect parts of areas that are underserved by public transportation to the more main routes of transportation. It's really a big topic right now because it could really solve a lot of the kind of barriers and kind of the where there's not just not transportation right now. We also are talking about there's always stuff going on with different housing bills. So right now the state's talking about their qualified action plan for housing, where they will, they're actually talking about making some measures to increase the amount of accessible housing in apartments, which would be amazing. Because that's one of the other barriers that, you know, we face is if a person, you know what subsidized housing is?
Yeah.
Okay. So if a person needs subsidized housing, but also needs an accessible unit, you're now... The number of units has gone from 10 to about 2
sure.
that they can qualify for. So if we have more units that are accessible or that are adaptable, which means that maybe someone doesn't need full accessibility, like all of the features, maybe they need just more places where they can put in handrails or just a roll-in shower, then you're kind of eliminating one of those barriers.
Seems like there's a lot that goes into this that a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah. I think that's part of our role, right? When somebody comes in, if you think about kind of what's the first way that you get into AdLib, it's usually that first phone call for information and referral where you start saying, these are all the things I can't access. And our job is to kind of put those in order. And which ones do we start chipping away at first mm-hmm. to make it so that you can get to your ultimate goal, which for most people, it's that independent community life where you can choose, you know, if you choose, go to work. Go spend time with your family or friends. You know, we also, and there's lots of times you do accessible work for, especially out here in like the trails and hiking and all of those things. So there's, you know, there's so many aspects of it.
We do have a great outdoor, you know, the Berkshires, it's all about the outdoors
yeah.
around here. And like, how do you make things like going to the lake or, mm-hmm. going hiking, so to speak, more accessible to somebody with a disability?
Yeah, so I have a couple kind of good examples. Part of it is obviously towns work to get grants, right? Mm-hmm. So the towns operate. So let me back up a tiny bit. Whenever you're doing this type of work, the first thing you want to find out is who's in charge, right? They call this power mapping. Who's in charge and where does the money come from? Because those are the two things that are going to influence it the most. A lot of our parks are public, right? They're owned by the cities or the towns. So cities and towns will look to get grants to create accessible trails or to create different accessibility features in their parks. A couple of years ago, we partnered with the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, and they held an event at AdLib called Accessibility in the Parks, where they gathered feedback. They basically had their work was to map out all the parks in Pittsfield and where do we want to have more accessibility features. So they brought maps of all the parks and they had all these questions to ask people about like what's your barriers to using the parks? What would you really like to see in your parks so that you can use it? And there was a parent who came in and talked about that, like, I have a child that has a physical disability and I don't have somewhere to bring them swimming because nowhere has the right
Like a swimming,
I can't think of the correct term right now.
I mean, it's the thing you see on the, if you go to a hotel,
right,
you'll see
right
it on
wheelchair.
The side.
Yeah, well, and you have the wheelchair, not that for lakes. So
right.
that you can actually get floating chairs for people with disabilities to use. And then you get special sand wheelchairs that have these giant tires that you can push on the sand.
Okay.
So they went out and they, I think, I don't know exactly who did it, but I know the BRPC helped the town of Richmond to get a grant. And they purchased a couple of these special devices. So now kids can go swimming there that have physical disabilities.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. I mean, that's great.
Right?
That's,
and so
these are things you just don't even think of.
Yes, exactly. You know, at a City of Pittsfield Disability Commission meeting recently, it was last summer. What feels recent right now, but it's not. talked about he had planned to go fishing at one of the local ponds that had a wheelchair user and had wanted to go fishing with his brother at one of the local ponds that was supposed to be accessible, and got there and the trail hadn't been maintained. So there were too many branches and everything sticking over the trail. So while the trail itself was still could have been used, there was too much stuff on it for him to use. He brought it up at the Disability Commission meeting. They said, hey, we'll get someone out there. They fixed it up, and then he was able to go fishing.
Excellent. We're here with Sally English, the executive director of AdLib. We've got a few minutes left. Is there anything I missed? Anything you want to get out there? Like, how do folks get in touch with you? If somebody's listening and say, I may need to take care of take advantage of those services. How do they get in touch with you?
So great thing is to start with a phone call. Our phone number is 413-442-7047. You can also visit our website, which is adlibcil.org, and fill out a contact us form or email us at info@adlibcil.org. It's usually helpful to know a little bit about what's the condition or disability, what is the need, and what are the barriers you're facing. It's also helpful to know if you're already receiving any services, because certain things, you know, they don't let you... Sometimes if the state's paying, they only let you have one. You can't have all of them, right? You can't duplicate. But those are the things that are helpful for us to know. If you just say, hey, you know, I'm facing this, you know, I have this condition, or someone in my life has this condition. These are the things that we're having trouble accessing. Can someone please contact me to help me figure this out? And we'll try to get, we usually get back to people within about 3 to 4 business days to at least start that conversation.
3 to 4? I mean... So that means you have a lot of calls and a lot of things happening if it takes 3-4 days. And nobody wants it to take 3-4 days, but it has to take 3-4 days, right?
Yep. Unfortunately, you know, we only have so many people. We're one of those types of organizations that the work has increased, the funding has not.
Yeah.
So, we can't hire more people. And sometimes, too, and that's why it's helpful to get certain information up front. One of the things my staff really works hard to do is not to make people repeat themselves constantly, and to already have some questions or ideas ready when they call someone back. It is, you know, when you are going through a really challenging situation and every time someone talks to you, you have to repeat this.
Yeah, that's super frustrating.
It's super frustrating, right? I think about it when I was handling, you know, my father's estate and I was trying to deal with the insurance company. They passed me to 5 different people.
And you had to give me a name and a number every time.
And not only that, I had to say, yes, my dad is dad. And I need that, right? And like every single, it was about 5 different people. I finally got to the last person, was just like, I know this is not your fault, but I am so frustrated, right? And so we try to, as much as possible, lead with that empathy. So that way people don't have to experience that situation. And so that's why, and I know it's frustrating when you can't get a call back, you can't reach someone immediately, but if you give us enough information up front, we're able to call you back with something more than like, yes, I have your message, and to ask you all the same information
you just put in. Yeah. No, I just a lot of things you don't even think about.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right. Every doctor you go to, you have to repeat what's going on. And after a while, you just want somebody to have written it down and know what you're talking about.
Sally, thank you so much for joining us this morning and talking about AdLib. We'll have to have you on again because I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And I'd love to try and bring in some of the people that experience this stuff so that way you can hear those voices too.
That'd be great. Sally English, Executive Director of AdLib, joining us this morning. And don't forget, it's going to snow today. Not a lot, just enough to make you angry. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be starting up later on. Maybe 1 to 3 inches is what they're saying for that. couple of things before we close out the show. PSA Days is coming to PCTV. If you're a local nonprofit, we would love to have you as part of PSA Days. Reach out to us at psadays@pittsfieldtv.org. It's an opportunity for your organization to come for an hour at our studio here at 4 Federico Drive and take advantage of everything. Make a video that you can put on your website or your YouTube for fundraising events. And then you can make a radio one that we'll always have you on the radio as well. So that's psadays@pittsfieldtv.org. And we're so proud to be heading out to Lowell on Sunday for the Pittsfield High School girls basketball team. They are heading to the state championship game. That game is in Lowell at the Songus Center. So if obviously go to the game and support the girls if you can. But that's like a 3-hour drive. So if you're not up for that, you can always listen on WTBR. We'll be live on the air beginning at 3:50 for that. So tune in and check that out. And yeah, we're back next week. Have a great weekend. Really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. Stay, avoid the snow today. Stay warm, I guess, is what the message today. Have a great day, everybody.